Lord God, we pray that you would speak to us today, that even now you would be filling us, entering into not just this space, not just this community, but into our lives, and that you would speak, that you would even now be giving us ears to hear and eyes to see you. And we pray that you would open up our hearts even now. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Today is the last day that we're going to be looking at our superhero named Thor, and then we'll do some other things next week. Just to prepare you, to recap where you've been, some of you, which is strange, have not seen the movie Thor, and I don't understand that, but that's okay. Thor is a superhero. He is the king's son. He is a warrior, but he has this tendency to think a little bit more with his muscles than with his mind. He has a little bit of a tendency to think with his brawn a little bit more than his brain, and that is going to lead him astray in the first movie. He tends to put his own desires above really everything else and the king's commands specifically. And today we're going to see what happens when that happens. We're going to see what happens when his immaturity and his impatience get the better of him. When our scene's about to start, but he has just defied the king's orders. He has sought revenge when maybe that wasn't the best thing to do. It was already a hostile environment, and he just put gasoline on the fire. He's put the whole universe at risk. And so now we'll see him and his father have to deal with this disobedience, this immaturity, this selfishness. Let's watch the clip.
Don't be a kingdom to protect if you're afraid to act.
Whoa. How great is Anthony Hopkins? Everything he does, it's amazing. Anyway, Thor has disobeyed the king, and the king has stripped him of his power and banishes him to earth. His selfishness has caused his downfall. But maybe more importantly, or at least more interesting, it may be that his very strength, his very success, has blinded him to not only what he should be doing, but who he's supposed to be. Maybe it's the power that he wields, the success that he earns, that has gotten him in trouble. And he's forgotten that they came from somewhere. That power, those successes, they came from somewhere. They were given for a reason. Maybe it wasn't his greatness that earned all of that. If anything, his greatness is the thing that squandered all of that. But because he was given them, he was supposed to use them for others and thus be great. And instead, he only used it for himself. Of course, maybe Thor isn't the only one who sometimes does that. Imagine that. You could be given all sorts of abilities and strengths and even successes, and you could forget where they've come from. And worse, they could make you overconfident in yourself. And worse still, you could forget that they may have been given to you for a reason in the first place. Imagine that. Sometimes it's actually our very talents that can lead our hearts and lives astray. So hold on to that for a minute, because we're coming back to it. Because I want to remind you, we're in a sermon series looking at superheroes and the book of Judges. The book of Judges is a not so well known book in the Bible. It has the people of Israel, and they've come, they're in the promised land, everything's fine, and then they turn away from God, and God, in his wisdom, raises up an enemy to be victorious over them. Which is kind of a strange thing to do, but then God in his grace raises up a leader, a judge, to win, to bring peace back and to turn the people back to God. And they do, and everything's fine, and everything's great, and the people follow the judge who's following God, and there's just peace. And then that judge dies. And then the people turn away. And then God raises up another enemy, and they come in, and that's the cycle over and over and over again. But these leaders, these judges, they step into these horribly messy situations, and they restore peace. And in my mind, that kind of makes them superheroes. Because it strikes me that being a superhero has much less to do with the power you have and much more to do with your willingness to use those powers for others. Which in my mind means maybe we should be superheroes. So if you would, I would invite you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Judges, chapter 16. And we'll be starting in verse 4. The book of Judges, chapter 16. It's toward the beginning of your Bible, after Joshua. I will remind you that we are finishing up with our final judge named Samson. Samson is the one you probably, if you know anything about any judge, you probably know something about Samson. He seems to have strength that is unequaled, and that's probably pretty super. But that's probably where the similarities between superheroes and him stop. Because if you remember, Samson is anything but a hero. He is selfish and self-serving, he is immature and impulsive, and he's just generally not a good guy, despite what your third grade Sunday school teacher might have told you. He's not the hero of the Bible. But God has chosen him to restore the people. So let's see what happened. Judges chapter 16, verse 4 through 10 to start with, and we'll kind of divide this up as we go. Sometime later, he, Samson, fell in love with a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. The rulers of the Philistines went to her and said, "See if you can lure him into showing you the secret of his great strength and how we can overpower him so we may tie him up and subdue him. Each one of us will give you 1,100 shekels of silver." So Delilah said to Samson, "Tell me the secret of your great strength and how you can be tied up and subdued." Samson answered her, "If anyone ties me with 7 fresh thongs that have not been dried, I'll become as weak as any other man." Then the rulers of the Philistines brought her 7 fresh thongs that had not been dried, and she tied him with them. With men hidden in the room, she called to him, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." But he snapped the thongs as easily as a piece of string snaps when it comes close to a flame. So the secret of his strength was not discovered. Then Delilah said to Samson, "You have made a fool of me. You lied to me. Come now, tell me how you can be tied." And we're going to stop there for a moment. We're going to skip ahead a couple verses because he's going to do a couple more of these. And the passage is really long this morning. But first, I want you to notice we still see Samson at this point in the story doing whatever's right in his own eyes, which is always trouble. What is he doing with Delilah? Nothing good. But the other thing I want you to notice at this point in the story is that the Philistines are looking for the secret of Samson's great strength. What is the source of the magic that makes you so strong? Which may reveal something unexpected and surprising about how Samson might have looked. Despite every drawing of Samson ever, he probably wasn't all that big and muscly. And here's why. And here's what I mean. If the man had 30-inch biceps, which is how he's always drawn, I don't think they'd be looking for the secret of his strength. And thus they wouldn't need some kind of magic to then subdue him. Because at that point it'd be pretty obvious what the secret of his strength is. It's his 30-inch biceps. It's obviously his genetics and, you know, some dieting and a lot of working out, a lot of curls. That's what would have done it. So the fact that they're searching for the secret of his strength may be because he actually looked just like everyone else. He seemed actually maybe relatively ordinary. And maybe his strength wasn't really due to his large muscles at all. Maybe his strength came from somewhere else entirely. Or someone else. Anyway, Delilah is paid a great sum of money to find out the secret, and so she sets to work. She tried it with those ropes. She tries it a couple more times. We're going to skip a couple verses, and we're going to start in verse 15 to keep going. Verse 15 begins, "Then she said to him, 'How can you say I love you when you won't confide in me? This is the third time you have made me a fool and haven't told me the secret of your great strength.' With such nagging, she prodded him day after day until he was tired to death. So he told her everything. 'No razor has ever been used on my head,' he said, 'because I have been a Nazarite set apart to God since birth. If my head were shaved, my strength would leave me, and I would become as weak as any other man.' When Delilah saw that he had told her everything, she sent word to the rulers of the Philistines, 'Come back once more. He has told me everything.' So the rulers of the Philistines returned with the silver in their hands. Having put him to sleep on her lap, she called a man to shave off the 7 braids of his hair, and so began to subdue him, and his strength left him. Then she called, 'Samson, the Philistines are upon you.' He awoke from his sleep and thought, 'I'll go out as before and shake myself free.' But he did not know that the Lord had left him. Then the Philistines seized him, gouged out his eyes, and took him down to Gaza. Binding him with bronze shackles, they set him to grinding in the prison. But the hair on his head began to grow again after it had been shaved." And I want to stop there before we get to our exciting conclusion. And Delilah continues to ply and prod and pester Samson until he finally tells her everything. And when he does, we realize that he really does know who he's supposed to be. And he really does acknowledge where his strength actually comes from. It's not actually in his hair, but it's in God. And then he falls into a deep sleep. They cut off his hair, and his strength and God abandon him. And what is one of the more heartbreaking, tragic scenes of the Bible, he wakes up and he assumes that everything is fine, just like it's always been. I mean, at this point, he's broken every Nazarite vow you're supposed to make, except for the hair one, and everything's always been fine. And so he wakes up and he thinks, "I'll just free myself like I always have." But of course, this time it's different. This one was the last straw, and his strength is gone, and more importantly, the Lord has left him. And he's taken, tortured, and imprisoned. But then where we stopped, there's a beautiful, hopeful piece of foreshadowing. Because the story says, "But the hair on his head began to grow back." So let's finish the story. "Now the rulers of the Philistines assembled to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to celebrate, saying, 'Our God has delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hands.' When the people saw him, they praised their god, saying, 'Our God has delivered our enemy into our hands, the one who laid waste our land and multiplied our slain.' While they were in high spirits, they shouted, 'Bring out Samson to entertain us.' So they called Samson out of the prison, and he performed for them. When they stood him among the pillars, Samson said to the servant who held his hand, 'Put me where I can feel the pillars that support the temple, so that I may lean against them.' Now the temple was crowded with men and women. All the rulers of the Philistines were there, and on the roof were about 3,000 men and women watching Samson perform. Then Samson prayed to the Lord, "O sovereign Lord, remember me. O God, please strengthen me just once more and let me with one blow get revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes." Then Samson reached toward the central pillars on which the temple stood. Bracing himself against them, his right hand on one, his left hand on the other, Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." Then he pushed with all his might, and down came the temple on the rulers and all the people in it. Thus he killed many more when he died than while he lived. Amen. So the Philistines are doing a little bit of gloating. They gather with a whole bunch of the leaders and everyone else worshiping their God. They bring out Samson for their amusement as a reminder of how strong their God is. And Samson is placed between the two main pillars of the temple. Samson prays to the Lord more humbly, and frankly, I think it's the first time it gets mentioned that he ever prays for the Lord. And the Lord grants him strength one last time. And Samson brings them all to ruin. Here at the end of his life, when he's at his absolute weakest, we are surprised to discover that maybe for the first time he's actually strong. What's more, this might be the first time that he's humble enough to not let his strength get in the way of who he's supposed to be. But of course, most of us don't have long hair that we've never cut since birth. Most of us aren't this strong. Most of us don't have to deal with Philistines all the time. So what does this have to do with us? What might this have to do with our strength and our abilities? And I think part of the answer lies in the fact that Samson really is kind of a tragic hero who serves as a warning sign for us about the dangers and pitfalls of squandering our gifts and our blessings. Because we too can rely too much on our gifts and in the process become overconfident and even selfish. We too can use our gifts selfishly instead of recognizing that maybe they've been given to us for a reason, for a purpose. And we too can forget that these gifts that we have, these abilities, these strengths, maybe came from somewhere. Maybe these gifts had a giver. So I want us to work back through these ideas one at a time. One of the ways that Samson squanders his gifts, his blessings, is that he starts to rely on them a little bit too much. Not only does he take his gifts for granted, but he begins to look to them for his safety, for his security. He finds his worth in the gifts he's been given rather than the giver. And Samson puts all his hope in the wrong thing. In our story, Samson is completely overconfident in his intrinsic power and his ability to always succeed. His strength has always been there for him, so it always will be. He's gotten so used to his strength that now he just assumes it's part of who he is, and therefore he assumes he's invulnerable. And let's remember, at this point, he really has broken almost every rule he was supposed to follow, and his strength has always been there for him. So of course it always will be. But maybe that's not the case. Because you have to ask the question, no matter how dense he is, why would Samson be dallying with Delilah? Why would he be playing with fire like this? Why would he be just spending time with this woman who's obviously has bad intentions? If anything, Delilah is the most consistent person in the whole story. You know what she's up to because every time you've told her your weakness, she's done it. You don't have to be very good at cause and effect to know what's going to happen eventually. And so the only way that this makes any sense is if Samson believes that his strength goes deeper than his hair and deeper than God. He's always been able to get out of any jam relying on his strength, so why would this be any different? But of course it is. And what's more, we find that maybe it's his very strength, his very success, that makes him blind to the danger he's in. He's relying so much on his strength that he's become overconfident. And maybe he's now blind to not only what Delilah was doing, but the fact that the strength came from God. Imagine that, because it's a strange idea. What if what we think of as our strengths, our abilities, our assets, actually prove to be weaknesses, or at least blind spots for us, preventing us from seeing God in them? What if our strengths, our assets, our abilities actually become dangerous for us? Because we can look to them for our security, for our worth, instead of where they came from. But then Samson also squanders his gifts in other ways, through his selfishness, forgetting that maybe he's been given his strength for a reason. In fact, maybe his gift really wasn't given to him. Maybe a better way to think about it is it's on loan to be used for the purposes of God. I mean, one way to look at this story is simply that Samson's sin may not just be Delilah, but maybe Samson's sin is believing that the gifts he has been given can be used any way he wants, any way he sees fit. Maybe his real sin in this story is always and only using his gifts simply for himself and his own gain. You'll notice that even in his final prayer, and it's the best one he ever does, there's nothing about saving Israel or bringing glory to God. Even here, Samson is all and only about his own revenge. He's been made more humble, sure, by the taking away of his power, but that humility, and it's a good step for him. He's kind of looking back to God, but he still is using his power only for his own purposes. Now, God is using it too, but that's not Samson's intent. Samson here seems more selfish than super. Samson is supposed to be using his strength and himself to lead and save Israel. He's a judge of Israel. And instead, we see him only using all that he's been given solely for himself. And this is so easy to do. Think about how much we've been blessed with. And yet, how often is it that those very gifts are what distract us? Those very gifts are what we put our confidence and security in. Those very gifts, we conclude, are ours to do with as we please, forgetting that maybe they've been given to us for a purpose beyond just ourselves. But the final way we see Samson squandering his gifts, and really one of the biggest blind spots throughout his life, it's his inability to recognize that his strength came from somewhere. Samson is so self-absorbed that he assures and assumes that he deserves and is entitled to not just his strength, not just his success, but everything he has. And while we have known from the beginning of the story, because it was clear for us in the story, that Samson has been given his strength from God, it's not clear until this final prayer that Samson's even aware of that. There's nothing that he does in this whole story that makes us aware that he's aware that his strength came from God. Nothing in his actions before today tells us he knows that he's been blessed by God, that God is with him. And throughout this story, he just sort of takes his strength for granted. Not just the gift of strength, but more importantly, he takes the giver of his strength for granted. I'm strong, so that must be because that's just who I am. I'm successful because that's completely the result of all of my doings, my hard work. If I have it, I've earned it, and it's mine forever. Only that's not how it works. We see clearly in Samson, his abilities, his strengths, and even his success doesn't come from himself, in fact. It comes from God. It's almost like the problem is God's very consistency of blessing is what blinds Samson to the sight that God's in this story in the first place. And of course, maybe that's not just a Samson issue. How many of us see our successes, great and small, as something that we've earned completely, solely by our work? No one else was involved. Nothing else was involved. How many of us forget that our very skills, our very abilities, our very privileges, our very breath is all a gift from God? I wonder how we'd live differently if we remembered that. I wonder how we squander what we've been given. And yet in all that, we learn one more thing from this passage. Despite everything we've talked about, God remains the giver of those good gifts. God's blessings aren't contingent upon anything that Samson does. And God's love isn't contingent upon his or our faithfulness. There is an amazing hero in the story of Samson. And it's not Samson. The superhero in this story is God. Faithful and generous despite the faithlessness of Samson. Not bound by Samson's selfishness and obstinance. Truly strong, and not only strong, but strength-giving. There is a superhero in this story. But it's not the guy with the muscles. Even more interestingly about the story of Samson is that it's actually telling a much larger story than just of this one guy in the Philistines. It's actually in some ways telling what's happening with all of the Israelites throughout the whole book of Judges. We could sum up the whole story of the book of Judges today in this one story. They, the Israelites, and he, Samson, started out so strong, so blessed. But then those very blessings allowed them to stray from God. The very promised land allowed them to forget who gave them the promised land in the first place. Made them overconfident in their own abilities, and so they forgot that they even needed God. And as is always the case, this leads the people and Samson to not more strength, but to weakness. While they all started the story seeing and doing whatever was right in their own eyes, they all end up blind. While they all started free, they all end up in bondage. While they all started out proud and self-confident, they all ended up objects of ridicule. This is a microcosm of the whole book of Judges. And when we think about it, it might not just be a microcosm of the whole book of Judges. This may be telling a larger story even still. Because don't we do some of the same things that the Israelites do and that Samson does with the blessings that we've been given, the abilities we've been given, the successes that we've been given? Don't we do the same thing? But that's not the end of the story. Because God allows the hair on Samson's head to grow back. Because God turns back to the people of Israel, and this time he doesn't give them a judge anymore, he gives them a king. And because God sent his son to us to show us that maybe the secret is not in our strength, but the secret is in his strength. And that's what makes us super. So then it's up to us to use his gifts for his purposes, relying on him and not on us. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you strangely for the person of Samson. We thank you for what he teaches us, for the story that his life tells, for the way that his life reveals a bit more about who we sometimes are. But we thank you that the story doesn't end with him just in ridicule. But you grew his hair back. More importantly, you brought his strength back. More importantly still, you were with him. And you're with us. We thank you that you are a God who forgives. A God who is gracious and loving despite our actions. A God who gives us gifts, great and small. We pray that you would help us remember that. Help us to use all that you've blessed us with to not our glory, but to yours. And we pray these things in the strong name of Jesus the Christ. who lived that out for us. Amen.